This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group, and I'm joined today by Ben Golliver of the Washington Post to preview tonight's opener between the Warriors and Nets. We also get into a whole bunch of Warriors topics, including what Steph Curry needs to do to win MVP, how the Warriors can get into the playoffs, and why fans should adjust their expectations. Ben is one of the very best in the business, and if you don't read or listen to him already, I suggest that you do. Here it is.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm here with Ben Golliver from the Washington Post to preview tonight's NBA opener between the Warriors and the Nets and talk more things Warriors. But Ben, thanks for joining the show. What are you hoping to see in tonight's game?
Kevin Durant score 50. I mean, what else? I guess I'm going on enemy territory with that take, so I guess I better be a little bit more careful. I am hoping that it's not a one-man show from Steph Curry. I'll say number one, I'm hoping for great health and a return to something close to 100% abilities for both Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. I'm hoping that the product looks pretty good on TV. You know, I think that's been kind of an issue during the preseason. Some of these games with the empty buildings, it could be a little bit of a tough watch. So I'm hoping there's a real vibe and an atmosphere for this game. I mean, given the personalities involved, you would expect it to get, if not chippy, then at least, a little competitive and maybe some back and forth, shootout if we can get, a best case scenario. So I guess that's what I'm looking for. How about yourself?
More of the same. I want just quality basketball. I mean, and just for me, selfishly, after covering the Warriors last year, and you could not really describe that as quality basketball. Even before Steph was injured, it was ugly to watch, man. And so I want to get back to enjoyable basketball. And I don't think that's too much to ask here.
So. Well, let me ask you, what is the key from Golden State's perspective to kind of make that happen? Because we know who Steph is. It's funny, I've been like higher on Steph than a lot of the other analysts who are doing their top 100 ratings. I think he's been getting a little bit underrated. At the same time, I'm lower on his supporting cast than I think a lot of the national analysts out there. You know, I think that they're kind of a borderline playoff team. He's going to need some people to step up around him. Like, who do you feel like are the X factors that are going to turn Golden State into a winning team? And or a team that you're not, averting your eyes, halfway through January because you can't stand it anymore. Who are the guys you've got circled?
All of them other than Steph. I have no idea what to look. Andrew Wiggins, he kind of does. If you're going to pick one guy, he kind of feels like the bellwether of this team. If he's doing good Andrew Wiggins things, right, where he's handling the ball, not turning the ball over so much, being aggressive, not only with his own shot, but helping create shots for others and stuff. In the two of the three preseason games, that's what he was. And the offense flowed more than that one preseason game where it basically grinded to a halt when Steph was off the floor. And Wiggins is going to be the guy that's running the offense when Steph is off the court. So look, Steph, I think, can make up for a lot of problems elsewhere on the offense. But when he's off the floor, you're just going to need somebody to run the show. And it looks like it's going to be Wiggins, at least early. I don't know about you, but I do agree with you. I think Steph will be close to what he was when we were used to seeing him play on those finals teams. I think he'll be very, very close to that. But the rest of the supporting cast, people keep talking about, Kent Bazemore, especially Warriors fans. I see it a lot. Kent Bazemore will be the new Andre Iguodala. Brad Wanamaker will be the new Sean Livingston. My advice to Warriors fans all along has been, cool your jets. Don't have such high expectations. These are just nice role players. They were available free agents for very little money for a reason. They'll be helpful. The Warriors will be better than last year. But if you really want to enjoy this product, you can't really go into it expecting dynastic level Warriors, right?
No, I think that's right on. I mean, I think Wiggins is absolutely an X factor. I think a lot of people would circle Oubre as well. I think the guy who I want to see play more than any other guy on that roster, with the exception of Steph, though, is Draymond. And I understand he's kind of coming in either banged up or he's not going to be available for the opening night. Is that right?
Yeah, he's got a foot injury he's going to miss at least the opening game. He could miss the Christmas Day game. He will be on the trip. So it's not a phantom injury, because he actually told reporters the other day that he was kind of pissed when he saw the schedule, because I guess they're playing Brooklyn on his kid's birthday, and then they have to be in Milwaukee on Christmas. So I part of me was like, did you really tweak your right foot, or did you just sort of make that up? But apparently he'll be on the trip, so gets rid of that.
It's not like a James Harden little baby situation where he's prioritizing the birthday over training camp or whatever.
No.
Well, that's good to know. But I think that's really how they get to their ceiling, right? Isn't it Draymond just being all defensive level, captaining the whole team, keeping everybody organized? You're looking at some pretty steep defensive downgrades there. You're talking about Oubre and Wiggins compared to guys like Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson from previous years. Now, you could also argue maybe they're slight upgrades from the players who were in some of those spots last year during the injury-ravaged season. So, for sure the truth's going to be somewhere in the middle. But I think, the entire Warriors year, to me, it kind of boils down to, like, is Draymond still a top 25, top 30 level player when he wants to be, when he's fully locked in, when he's in shape, and can he be that guy every single night? Because if not, I just don't think they have enough. And I think that's right. Where I get into the situation where I'm a little bit lower on them than some other people.
Well, I hate when people ask me, hey, do you think Draymond Green will be the old Draymond Green? He's 30 years old. Can he return to that old defensive player of the year form? So I'm going to ask you that so that people don't ask me that so much. Do you think that Draymond Green can, where's your confidence level in him? Because I agree with you. You're right. He needs to get back. He's lost a step. He's not the athlete he once was, but he's the guy that kept saying, hey, I'm a 16-game player. I'm a 16-game player. Well, the Warriors this season need him to be a 72-game player if they want to go play another 16 games.
No, that's a great point. Can he be that guy every single night? I don't know. I mean, I think that if you're comparing him to like 2015 or 16 version, he's probably lost more than a step. In true fairness, I mean, he was just so active, so high energy, just, so fierce in everything that he did, and so unbelievably skilled while he was doing it at that full speed. I mean, that was what made him such just an incredible defensive talent. Look, we know he's going to be better than last year. If he's not, Wes, it's going to be a long year for you, bud. So, but we got to hope that he's significantly better than last year. But there's a lot of room between what he did last year and what his prime was. And
right.
You could still be a near all-star level guy and not be as good as Draymond was 2 years ago, right? So I think that there's, enough room for him to make a meaningful improvement and for him to kind of carry a pretty heavy load. I'm sure he's ready for it mentally. I mean, I think part of the deal with that long layoff for teams like Golden State and Atlanta, I think when you're off for 9 months, it basically forces you to have like a midlife crisis, right? It like forces you to just take stock of everything. Who are you as a player? What do you want from the next couple of years of your life? What are your hopes, dreams, aspirations, and all of that kind of stuff, And I think for Draymond, just seeing the videos of him coming back so skinny, it seems to me like he took the right message from that process, which was you don't want to have 3 more years like last year, because that's just going to be so boring. It's going to be such a waste of your time. You don't want to be looking forward to your post playing career on, television, talking trash with Charles Barkley. That's not going to be nearly as much fun as competing at a high level and trying to become a championship contender. Right. So I think from that standpoint, the long layoff could probably be good for him and Steph Curry. And unfortunately, the layoff was just like 2 weeks too long for Klay Thompson before he could get back on the court. And that's an unbelievable shame there. But hopefully Draymond's coming back with the right mindset and not quite as exhausted as they were coming off of the 5 straight finals runs.
I know you're an avid walker. That's your workout of choice. But after having seen Draymond and how skinny he was, did you buy a Peloton?
I've thought about it. There's no question. I mean, he's hardly the only person who's put together some amazing results with the help of the Peloton bike. I just don't know if I have room for it yet, Wes. I got a pretty small place, so I don't know where I'd put it.
No, I hear you. I've got 407 square feet in San Francisco. There is not room for a Peloton.
to sleep on your Peloton if you're gonna buy a Peloton in a place like that.
I'll be right back with Ben Golliver, but first let's talk about Bet Online. Are you ready for some football? College football heads into bowl season, and there are some big matchups this weekend. The NFL regular season is finishing up with the playoff picture becoming clear, and there's only one place that has you covered, and one place that we on the Locked On Podcast Network trust. It's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. The basketball season tips off tonight. And if you've been paying attention for the last few months and you've been paying attention to the offseason, the draft, and all of these things, and I know if you're listening that you have, then show off your expertise. It's better to do it earlier in the year when you could take advantage of some other people that maybe haven't been paying as much of attention. Check out the lines, put some money down if you feel like it, and do it all at betonline.ag. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Again, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. You kind of already answered this question, but a lot of projections have the Warriors missing the playoffs. They have them, you know, 10th worst record in the league, some of these projections. It sounds like you sort of agree with do you think that they'll be that bad? Do you think they're going to be completely out of the playoffs? Or if you had to make a projection, maybe fringe sort of play-in tournament type team?
I mean, I think the safest thing to say is, yeah, they're in that like 7-10 range. I guess I'd probably be towards the lower end of that range, you know, 9 or 10. But Steph is Steph. And, you know, I don't want to count him out. And I think that his impact can be absolutely insane. Now, from the minute standpoint, it sounds like they're going to be throttling him back at least a little bit this season. What's the latest on that, Wes? I mean, how are they going to handle him? And is he going to be able to, like, you know, play more if need be? Because I think one key difference between them and a team like Portland or Dallas, where those teams, I think, are going to rely pretty heavily on Lillard and Luka Doncic, if Steph is on any sort of a minutes restriction, even if it's like 34 minutes as opposed to 37, that could change a lot of games. You know, you're talking about putting the ball in Wiggins' hand to run the offense, you know, when Steph is off the court. I mean, Jesus Christ, man, you can't do that for 14 minutes a night. Like, that's not going to work. Like, that's not a game plan. I'm sorry.
No, so, it's, you know, essentially an entire quarter. Yeah.
Right. What's Kerr's plan there?
It's going to be, he said he wants to play Steph 34 minutes a game. And look, I understand the logic of it, that you don't want to run Steph Curry into the ground and he's coming back from this hand injury and et cetera. But man, it just feels like right now, and look, I think there's room for there's wiggle room there, right? If, and maybe it's mostly in the second half. Already in this preseason, I think Steph got going in the third quarter, scored like 11 points in the third quarter. I think it was the second game of the preseason. And Steph kind of looked at Steve Kerr and was like, hey, let me play the rest of this quarter, when he was supposed to come out, and Steve Kerr let him. So I guess if he's on a roll or whatever, the offense is flowing, he'll let him play it. So we'll see how long that 34-minute kind of standard lasts. But I keep looking at the decisions that the Warriors have made, and they keep prioritizing longevity. Hey, we want to be the next Spurs. They keep prioritizing that versus just, you've got Steph Curry, go win, like right now. And I know you don't have Klay Thompson and all these things, but I don't think that you can afford to miss the playoffs. Like, we could talk about culture all you want, but you miss the playoffs 2 years in a row, that culture starts to erode. I don't care what kind of team you are. And you draft James Wiseman instead of trading this number two pick. We don't really know what was available, but you use that player on a young, use that pick on a young player. They go and get Wiggins and Oubre, who are 25 years old. There's not a whole lot of veterans on this team anymore. It just feels like they're prioritizing getting to the playoffs in 2028 versus trying to win a title this season or next season.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the title hopes for this season and next season with this group have kind of sailed. You know, I just don't see it. And so I think that my organizational priorities, if I was Golden State, number one would be keeping Steph happy kind of no matter what. So yeah, as long as he's not making some ludicrous demand to play 42 minutes a night, I would be saying, all right, well, let's maybe start for the first month of the season at 34. Let's see how your body handles it. And if we're still competitive, if we're still in a good spot, then I'd be willing to ramp it up and just kind of let Steph be Steph and see if maybe he can chase an MVP or chase some of those other types of awards, you know, individual statistics and all that, just so that he's feeling like completely invested and, you know, motivated during a pretty tough season. That would be my number one priority. My second priority would just be crossing my fingers and praying that Wiseman is, like, you know, the next David Robinson or whoever else you want to throw in there as a comparison. I mean, I would be having him at the center of all my strategies. So I'd be trying to start him as soon as possible. I'd be trying to play him full-time starters minutes as soon as possible. I'd be trying to get him up to speed as a defensive anchor as soon as possible, because I think that's a question for him kind of longer term. So whatever it takes, whether it's like schooling from Draymond or if it's just, using him in certain situations or trying to get him into favorable matchups, whatever it is, I'd be trying to get him comfortable with that responsibility and that burden basically immediately, because that's sort of their path back to contention. It's basically Weissman turns into an all-star level player more quickly than you expect. Klay Thompson comes back and is actually pretty close to, you know, 100% next season. Draymond shows you he's still got some more legs. And then Steph is still an MVP candidate. If you've got that kind of a group, you could talk me into this contention conversation. But I think for this year with Weissman and James, you know, Weissman in year one and no Klay Thompson, I think that, you know, those kinds of talks are dead on arrival. And it's more about relationship management with Steph, making sure he's happy, feeling valued, feeling invested, and just kind of getting to play basketball and have fun again.
Two things there, and you mentioned earlier, you said something like, I agree with you, you eliminate them from contention consideration this year, but you kind of eliminated them for next year, even though Klay Thompson is supposed to be back. I think a lot of Warriors fans would push back on that idea. Why are you more skeptical for next year?
Well, look, I mean, the Klay Thompson who's coming back is going to be, you know, 3 years removed from the finals at that point, that when you're going into those playoffs. He's coming off of two major injuries that are sort of related but not the same injury. He is going to have to hold up across an entire season, because they're going to need to play him real minutes during the regular season to kind of get in position to have a seed to, you know, chase a title. And I think just for me personally, the dynasty ended when Klay Thompson got injured, you know, during that finals game. They lost that finals. Like, Kevin Durant was out the door. Klay was going to miss an entire season. Draymond was going to be in a different stage once Klay got back. And they were going to need to kind of retool that thing dramatically. And so at that point, I was already in the mindset of, okay, like, what does the next version of a Warriors championship team look like? Trying to cling to the past with that same group is a really tough sell. And I still feel that way, unfortunately, even more so because of Klay's multiple injuries. Like, you can't just pencil him back in as an all-star level guy night in, night out when he comes back next season. That's not realistic. And you've also lost another year of Draymond's prime along the way. So I think that's a little bit a little bit troublesome. And then you're looking at, you know, what you were able to get out of the Russell signing, you know, with Wiggins. He's a decent fit as a fifth option, but like, is he going to be a real championship level player when everybody's fully healthy? I'm not sure. I just question that. I don't buy it. Like, just night to night, I'm not sure he's ever going to be that guy. I think the real X factor here, the wild card, is Weissman. And I do think if this season starts to go, you know, shaky in any way, if there's some injury issues or whatever else, if it was me in charge, I would be very open to the idea of another aggressive tank, because if you're able to get another high quality draft asset and you're able to use that in trades, if you need to have the flexibility to retool and to try to replenish things around Steph, I would want to have the best picks possible. So if the alternative was getting stuck at like 10th in the playoffs, in the playoff chase and not really being a factor, or being down in 14th or 15th, sort of like last year, if things went south, I would be much more interested in the latter option.
Well, the other version of that too is, well, why don't you make a win now trade? If you're so reliant on James Wiseman and some of these young guys, and, you know, obviously easier said than done. You gotta, it depends on who's out there. But look, I agree with everything you said. I don't think you can ever count on Klay Thompson being what he was. Maybe he will, who knows? And everybody in the Warriors will say that he'll be back and it's Klay Thompson and he'll be back. But I have never seen anybody come back from these kinds of devastating injuries to what he was. And plus, like you said, he'll be 3 years removed. He'll be two years older, et cetera. Draymond Green is what he is now. But I know Rudy Gobert signed the extension Monday. That would have been an interesting option to me if I'm the Warriors, because as a trade guy, because you could have traded Wiseman, you know, hypothetically, Utah could have gotten somebody in Donovan Mitchell's age range. You could have gotten an anchor of your defense, which has completely fallen apart since last year. I don't know. I feel like that's the sort of maybe win now move, because I don't know if you'll ever have a player the caliber of Steph Curry ever again in the history of the franchise. And with the way he is right now, I still think that he's good enough to lead a team to a championship. Maybe he'll be that good for 2 or 3 years. And then after that, I don't really know what you're playing for anymore. Again, it sounds to me like this is a team built to make the playoffs and lose in the first round for, you know, years 2027, 2028, and not really a team that's going to win a championship anytime soon.
Yeah, look, I think it's just about expectation setting. I think you're right. The ceiling needs to come down on the conversation here. You know, like, trying to live in the past of 5 straight finals and live in that shadow is too much for any team. It's not reasonable, right? Like, I mean, we could say the same thing. Let's say LeBron hadn't left Cleveland, right? And he was still in Cleveland, and they're trying to retool things around Kevin Love's contract, and maybe Kyrie's still there. He's dealt with injury issues. Like, he'd be in a completely different spot, and expecting them to be in the finals every single year as they're trying to piece together rotations around those guys would be much more difficult. So I think that's why you do have to give LeBron some level of credit for having the foresight to avoid that kind of a fallout, right? And that fallout happens. I mean, there's cycles to these things for basically everybody besides the San Antonio Spurs, right, who had some unbelievably high-level players with just amazing longevity and really good health that kind of kept them going, for 15, 20 straight years. Everybody else kind of goes through these natural rhythms. So I think it's sort of Golden State's time to do that. In terms of trying to make the win now moves, I think what we could see, first of all, there wasn't a lot of trade interest or high value offers for these top picks in this year's draft. I think otherwise some of those picks would have moved, right? Like, I don't think Minnesota was absolutely in love with Anthony Edwards or Charlotte was in love with LaMelo Ball or anything else. I just don't think that there was very much interest in those picks this year. I just think because everybody viewed this as being a down draft, right? So I think that's number one. And number two, I mean, Golden State did go out there and make an insane win now move to me in paying Kelly Oubre, taking on his contract with the trade exception and paying all that luxury tax money to do so. I mean, I think that there's a real commitment from the ownership to trying to like make this thing work right now. I just think their options were really limited because they don't have much to send back, as trade chips, right? Like, even if they had moved Draymond Green, I feel like his trade value is lower than at any point here over the last 4 or 5 years because of how he played last year. And so he's probably not getting you back what you would hope for. And then with Weissman, I think that he actually has more internal value for Golden State as they plan for the future than he might have external value for other places around the league. So I think they're just kind of backed into a corner, man. It's not like I'm necessarily like blaming them for any of these things happening. I like the Wiggins trade because Russell just clearly wasn't a fit, from a positional standpoint. And so it was a nice way to at least get yourself a wing that you could plug in as a way to kind of undo the damage of that Russell contract. But, I think that they're sort of where I expected them to be from a roster building standpoint. And I don't see any quick fixes or just magic elixirs that are going to get them back to where they were in 2017 or 2018. And remember, that's just such a ridiculous bar. Like, they needed the cap spike plus all those veterans to be still in there, playing high level minutes, plus convincing Kevin Durant to, arguably the best player in the game at the time he got injured in 2018 to show up in free agency. I mean, that is such an unprecedented level of, series of events to take place, and it produced so much winning to try to, compare anything Golden State does here in the next 2 years to that is just, it's unreasonable for the fans to get their hopes that high up. And it's just not fair to the front office to be held to that kind of standard, right? We're not all as good as our very best day every single day.
It's absolutely right. And it's one of the things I keep talking about with the fan base. And just to be clear, I'm not blaming the ownership or this front office for not trying to make that win now move. Again, I wouldn't have even done it for Bradley Beal. I don't think that he's a really good player. I don't think that he gets them to where they need to be. If I'm them, I would at least be open to it. And maybe they are. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like right now that they are. But anyway, Steph's MVP case, you talked about it a little bit. Hypothetically, what's the path? What does he have to do just to win MVP this year? How many wins do the Warriors need to have? And how many points does Steph need to score?
I mean, I think he's got to be like top two in scoring, top three in scoring. They've got to be a top four seed in the West, right?
Yeah.
Because he's not going to ever have like the big triple double numbers that like got Westbrook over the hump. He's never going to have that gigantic assist total number like a LeBron last year. I mean, he's never going to have big rebounding numbers, obviously. So I think it's probably some combination of like 30 points a game or more, plus like 43-44% 3-point shooting, plus a top four seed in the West, where they've kind of recaptured everybody's imagination. He's sort of the darling with his pregame routines. He stays healthy the whole way. Weissman is in the rookie of the year conversation because Steph is setting him up so well. I think that's sort of his path to it. And that still might not be enough. I mean, I think this year's MVP pack is really deep, and it should be a better race than we've seen in the last couple of years. I don't think the voters are going to give it to Giannis again. There's only been three players, Will Chamberlain, Bill Russell, and Larry Bird, to win the MVP 3 years in a row. I think voters are going to be hesitant to put Giannis into a category that Michael Jordan wasn't in, that LeBron James hasn't been in. And so I think that opens it up for LeBron, Anthony Davis, Damian Lillard, Luka Doncic, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant. I think all those guys have a shot. And there's some others, too, you could throw into the mix as well. Kawhi Leonard deserves a mention. Nikola Jokic deserves a mention. So I think we're going to have a pretty fun race, and Steph's going to be judged on team success just like all those guys.
I want to do the lightning round next, Ben. But first, if you're like me, when you get hungry, you can make bad decisions. But the best way to avoid blowing your diet is to be prepared. That's why I always have a box of Built Bars in the kitchen. Not only is this the best tasting protein bar I've ever had, it's the most healthy and it fills me up while I'm busy or I'm on the go. With 18 amazing flavors, including new flavors like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and apple almond crisp, Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate and soft and easy to chew. They taste like a candy bar, but they're low calorie and low sugar, while also being high in protein and fiber, making them perfect for keto and other low carb diets. So go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off on your next order plus a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
I want to move on to a lightning round. Are you ready?
Bring it on.
The Oakland jerseys. First of all, have you seen the Oakland jerseys?
I have.
Okay, yay or nay?
Look, it's complicated, man. Like, you know, they're trying to
show yes or no question.
Look, I guess I'm no, I don't know. Like, I'm. Can I just say this? I'm pro Oakland in general, right?
Okay.
Obviously, I think if you're a team that's moved to San Francisco and you're trying to put the Oakland on the jersey, you know, you're trying to give them a little olive branch, but you know, they probably just rather have the whole tree than the branch, right? So I guess I'm no.
Yeah. Does Steph win another title?
Oh. In Golden State or in general?
Ooh, I like that wrinkle. Either way, take it.
I'm going to say no in Golden State, but I never want to say never. You know, they could put together some crazy scenario down the road where he gets one. And I think he's going to play for a long time. I think everyone focuses on LeBron playing until he's 40 plus. Steph Curry's going to be shooting the basketball at a high level for a very, very long time. So I'm going to say yes, he gets one at some point. But no, he doesn't get one on this current contract.
Maybe hits a Ray Allen game six shots for some other team somewhere down the road, basically.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. There you go. Yeah.
The Warriors player, coach, or front office person, so basically anybody in the organization, with the most extravagant Christmas tree is?
Oh, man. I think you're better better suited. I would say probably Kelly Oubre. I mean, he's probably got it with Gucci and Louis Vuitton ornaments, you know?
I like that. I was going to say Mike Brown, just based on the suits that he wears. But I think Kelly Oubre is better. It's definitely a influencer-approved Christmas tree for Kelly Oubre, I would say.
Well, isn't Mike Brown's credit card maxed out by that one player who was using it to order stuff at the hotel, so maybe he doesn't have enough money for the ornaments.
He's got a lot of candles to hang on the tree. Are gingerbread cookies good?
Yes, absolutely. Sugar cookies are better, but gingerbread cookies are good.
I know you're a Lego guy. Have you ever built or do you plan to build a gingerbread house?
I have built a gingerbread house. I mean, they're always just so whack. I don't like... The creativity aspect of like trying to come up with my own designs is where I fall short. I can follow the instructions from Legos, but if you're asking me to like conceive of a gingerbread house and an exterior design and like how many pieces of candy corn do I need and all that stuff, I mean, just forget about it.
Yeah. I stopped trying to be an architect when I was 7 because of math. So I agree with you. I draw the line at candy corn as well. Who wins tonight?
Brooklyn.
Well, that's it. Thanks for joining me, Ben. You can follow him over at the Washington Post, Ben Golliver. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
It's great to hear your voice, Wes. Hope everything is going great and stay safe, please, this season. And best wishes to you and your family.
You too. Thanks, man. Thanks again to Ben Golliver for joining the show. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. You could send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And I'll see you here tomorrow morning for a recap of Warriors Nets.